Judge Bishop will not be with us on this case, and Justice Miller Lerman is recused. And I'm following the game plan here, and I think we've got everybody on the bench that is intended to be on the bench, so is it Ms. DeLuca?
Ms. Colhane, Your Honor.
Ms. Colhane, I apologize. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Good morning to you. Now I would like to introduce May it please the Court. I'm Elizabeth Colhane, and I am appearing on behalf of Appellant Mark Abbott. I'm here today asking you to reverse an order entered by the County Court of Douglas County, appointing a special administrator for the estate of my client's mother, Marcia Abbott. First, I say reverse, but initially I think the order should be vacated because I think that the county court lacked jurisdiction to enter the order. My client is the designated personal representative in his mother's will, which was signed in September 2015. After Mrs. Abbott died in the fall of 2016, we submitted the will for probate. The appellees filed a petition challenging the will in early January 2017. 5 days later, we removed the will contest to the district court under the Nebraska statute. In their petition challenging the will, appellees asked for a couple different forms of relief. One, they asked that Mark Abbott be restrained from acting as personal representative under the will. They asked that a special administrator be appointed, and they asked that the will be set aside. As I said, we removed the will contest to district court in 2017, and there's no dispute as to that. After we removed the will contest, the appellees asked the county court to hold a hearing on their request to have a special administrator appointed. Over our objection, the county court held two hearings on that issue, one in March 2017 and one in April 2017. April, the county court entered an order restraining my client from acting as personal representative and appointing a special administrator. It's our position that the county court did not have jurisdiction to enter that order because at that point, the will contest had already been removed to district court and had been up there for 3 months.
And what's your authority for that?
Well, Judge, under the Nebraska statutes, you are allowed to remove a will contest to district court. I believe it's 34.
So what goes to the district court and what stays in the county court, if anything?
It's a good question, Your Honor. And I think there's a couple of different cases that the parties have cited that each side believes one speaks to the issue more than the other. You know, I think in the estate of Miller case, which is the one that we've cited, it makes clear that anything relating to the will contest, you know, goes up to the district court. The action goes up to the district court, and the county court's only really authority is to put into effect whatever order the district court
has. Let's use that definition for a moment.
Sure.
Assuming that that is the case, the determination of a personal representative would be intimately connected with the will and would be in the district court, correct?
Correct. That's
so while this is all pending, while the will contest is ongoing, there is no personal representative to effectively act. Isn't that correct?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I guess I would disagree with that, Judge. You know, I think the will is a self-proven will and it's presumed valid during the pendency of the will contest.
Now, what authority do you have for that proposition, that when there is a will contest, that the will is presumed to be in effect, that the personal representative would have power to act even though the will itself that provides that authority is being contested?
Judge, you know, when we submitted the will for probate, my client was issued letters of personal representative.
Informally?
That's correct, Judge.
And then it was the formal probate proceeding contesting the will was initiated at that point. Doesn't that, in effect, stop the informal probate in its tracks?
I understand what you're saying, but obviously the will is now being contested. You know, I still think that until there's been something proven that the will should be set aside.
Assume we disagree with that. Assume that we are of the view that the personal representative in the will is on hold until the will contest is determined. Who determines who is going to represent the interests of the estate? The district court or the county court?
Judge, you know, I think it should be up in the district court. I think that that
so the district court should be entering appointments of special administrators and issuing letters of special administration?
Yeah, Justice, I think in this instance, the statute says that when you take the will contest up to the district court gains jurisdiction over, you know, all proceedings relating to the contest. In this instance, you know, as I started off with, this is part of the prayer for relief in their petition challenging the will. We removed that petition to district court, so it's my position that the contest is up in front of the district court, so I do think that
Let's step back for a minute. Under the Uniform Probate Code, the whole principle of this is there is not a unified proceeding, but a series of independent proceedings. You understand what I'm asking about so far? How is your view of this transfer statute consistent with the Uniform Probate Code's very clear scheme that you have independent proceedings to determine the validity of a will, an independent proceeding to determine who is appointed, an independent proceeding to determine requests for powers, an independent proceeding for supervised administration? All of those are independent. How is your interpretation consistent with the Uniform Probate Code's scheme?
Justice, I think the answer to that in my mind comes from that 3024.1, which says that you are entitled to remove the will contest proceeding to the district court.
What was the purpose of that section?
The legislative intent behind that section?
Yes.
It's my understanding that it was intended to preserve kind of a previous structure under which you could try certain probate issues in the district, appeal certain probate issues to the district court, I should say.
Wasn't it to preserve the right to jury trial in will contests? Wasn't that the exact reason for that transfer statute?
That certainly
And what does jury trial over a will contest have to do with appointment of special administrators?
I guess in this case, our position is our client was a designated personal representative under the will, and he was restrained and a special administrator was appointed without any kind of evidentiary hearing whatsoever, which was part of the prayer for relief in their will contest petition. Petition. So in that sense, I do see it as part of the same proceeding. And I think that, you know, there should have been, at a bare minimum, an evidentiary hearing, which is kind of the second part of my argument.
In the county court, if we disagree with you on the district court part,
that's correct.
Then you still have the argument about what happened in the county court.
Correct, Justice. So as I started off with this morning, your initial position is that the order should be vacated for jurisdictional reasons. However, to the extent that this court were to conclude otherwise, I still think that the order should be reversed for lack of evidence. And
do you think you have a final order?
I do, Judge.
Why?
I think it's a final order for a couple of reasons. One, I will tell you this, that the Nebraska appellate courts have reviewed orders appointing special administrators on several occasions. We cited a couple cases in our brief where they reviewed it on the merits. Also, I think there's no dispute between...
In those cases, was that actually an issue? Did anybody bring up final order?
I don't think it was specifically addressed in the decision that I cited, Justice. However, I do think also that it's an order that affects a substantial right because I think, one, the statute says a special administrator has all the rights of a personal representative unless specifically limited. In this case, there was nothing in the order limiting the powers of the special administrator, so he's taken over as the personal representative. A special administrator, has a lot of powers. You know, for all we know, the special administrator could go and settle this case during the pendency of the lawsuit. Also, as I said, it was a part of their prayer for relief in their petition. So the order finally resolves the party's rights with respect to that prayer for relief. I know there has been an argument that it's not a final order because it doesn't decide a claim or defense. It certainly decides a prayer for relief. I know they've also argued that it's some kind of temporary order. Again, there's nothing in the order making it temporary. It certainly would seem to last at least during the pendency of this lawsuit. And then lastly, my client is the only heir under the will, and so I think that it also affects the substantial right, because he's going to be the one to bear the cost of this, and if it's ultimately determined to have you know, been entered in error, there's no way to go back and undo that. You know, for the same reasons this court has allowed appeals from orders appointing a personal representative, denying a special administrator on the grounds that you can't go back and undo things, you know, claims that have been settled, claims that have been allowed after the fact, if something like that is done in error. So I do think it's a final order, because I don't think there's a way to affect it.
Aren't most of your clients' powers and prerogatives already diminished by the formal proceedings and the removal of other things to the district court? You don't have much left, do you?
Not many things can be done at this time. I think that's true, Justice. I think that's another reason why, you know, the court should look at this order, that I don't, you know, it just seems to me that it's an unnecessary expenditure of funds, because to your point, what is remaining to be done during this time period?
Can I have you just clarify one thing before you go?
Sure.
Is it your position that once this case was transferred to the district court, the county court had no jurisdiction to do anything until the district court ruled?
No, that's not my position. It is my position that the proceedings on the will contest were transferred to the district court, and that this would be related to the contest because it was all part of the same petition. They filed challenging the will. Understand that obviously the county court might have the ability to do something like extend the deadline for filing an inventory or something like that during the pendency of the appeal. During the pendency of the will contest. That there may be some small ancillary issues like that. But I think the statutes and the case law are clear that all proceedings related to the contest go up. So that's our position.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Ms. Harrion? Good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Minya Harrion, and myself, along with John Lingelbach, represent the appellees, Cynthia Fallon and Russell Abbott. Probably makes sense to address the jurisdictional argument first. We do not believe that the April 10, 2017 order was a final appealable order because it did not affect the substantial right. It was made in a special proceeding, so we do think that that element is met. This court has said that when an order affects the subject matter of the litigation, by diminishing a claim or defense available to defendant, the order affects a substantial right. We do not think that the appointment of a special administrator actually diminishes the appellant's right. I think we would have to basically assume that the special administrator would not be able to actually administer the estate or dutifully carry out his tasks, which I don't think we can do. I believe appellant relies on Muncillo regarding the appointment of a special administrator to argue that it's a final appealable order. However, that case is distinguishable because it was the denial of the appointment of a special administrator that the court found was a final appealable order. And the court based its decision on the fact that, as appellant's counsel pointed out, once years have passed, you cannot go back and undo what hasn't been done. In this case, in Muncillo, the personal representative did not want to pursue accounts that were transferred to a third party. And that obviously would have affected the personal representative's claims and rights because money that he believes he's entitled to would have already been divested and time would have passed, statute of limitations issues probably would have arisen. So that is distinguishable from what we have here. Here, we're really maintaining the status quo. We're appointing a neutral third party while the will contest is going on
Will the special administrator be able to, for example, deplete the estate in some way?
Well, I suppose technically that would be a possibility, but I think it's a neutral third party, obviously subject to the, subject to the court's rules and guidance, and has to, I believe, would carry out his duties in good faith. Otherwise, everybody would have a claim against the special administrator. That is true. But again, I don't know that we can just assume that the special administrator would not be able to carry out the duties. And to point out, we did not ask for Mr. Mark Malusik to be appointed. The judge on his own appointed that third party. We had actually asked for Pinnacle Bank to be appointed as the special administrator. And one other thing I want to touch on, because appellant made the argument that our petition to set aside the informal probate requested the you know, that Mark be restrained and a special administrator be appointed. And that is true, but just because 5 days after they filed a notice of transfer, transferring it automatically basically to district court, does not mean that all of a sudden, because we had a prayer for relief asking that a special administrator be appointed, that that is automatically transferred and now becomes part of the jurisdiction of the district court. We believe that the district court clearly, under the statute, has, you know, has jurisdiction over everything to do with the will contest. Now that is, you know, was there undue influence? Did the decedent have testamentary capacity? That's really what the will contest is about. Now, the appointment of a special administrator, we do not believe, has anything to do with the will contest, and I do think that that can still be handled properly by the probate court.
What can the special administrator do in this case?
For instance, if there is an issue with estate taxes that have to be paid so that the estate doesn't incur penalties, things like that should be handled by the special administrator. Really just maintaining things as they are while the will contest is going on. And to go more into the merits of the argument, it's not that what, you know, was relied on here was just an affidavit by Cynthia Sellin where she said that there were some apparent improprieties as far as financials that we received from the appellant, Mark. But Mark, there was a three-day trial where Mark, after the trial, the judge, the same judge that appointed the special administrator, had entered an order removing Mark as trustee because he had violated four separate sections of the Uniform Trust Code, one of them including not apprising his brother and sister, the appellees, of the financial records and providing them with the records that they're entitled to. And he also appointed a conservator for the decedent while she was still alive at that time. 6 days later, a new will and a trust amendment are executed. So the judge, I don't think we can look at it in the vacuum. The judge had been presiding over a three-day trial, had seen all the evidence, removed Mark, which was then upheld by this court, and the Supreme Court opinion was given to Judge Barrett when this, when these two hearings were taking place, along with his order removing Mark as trustee and what it was based on. So I do think that there were grounds on the merits to remove Mark as personal representative. And I do think that the only thing that was transferred was the will contest. So first things first, I don't think this court really has jurisdiction to hear the argument because I don't think it was a final appealable order. But to the extent that it was, and the court wants to entertain the merits, I believe it is clear that there was perfectly good grounds to believe that Mark would not do a good job being the personal representative. It was clearly shown that he had a nemesis against his brother and sister, and that he did not provide them with the information that they wanted, that he was not acting in good faith and being impartial.
And on that issue, what is our standard of review?
That is a good question, Your Honor. I do have that down. Standard of review is, the inquiry is whether the decision conforms to the law, is supported by competent evidence, and is neither arbitrary, capricious, nor unreasonable. And I do believe that that is met. Again, Judge Barrett was presiding over a three-day trial. He was well aware of all of the evidence, of all of the testimony, and after that he found that Mark violated four separate duties under the Uniform Trust Code. So I think that's competent evidence, along with what was submitted at the trial.
At the hearing on the request for a special administrator, did anyone request Judge Barrett to take judicial notice of the proceedings on the trust?
To be honest with Your Honor, I am not exactly sure whether that was.
So if we are confined to the record that was made at the hearing on the appointment of special administrator, that consists only of affidavits, right?
No, it would consist, the September 9, 2015 order that Judge Barrett entered, finding that Mark violated four separate sections of the Uniform Trust Code, that was part of the record, as well as the Supreme Court's opinion and the brief that obviously cited to a lot of the evidence. That was part of the record.
Help me on the timing. When did this hearing occur that we're talking about on the appointment of a special administrator as related to the other events?
Sure. So the trial on the matter was, this was the removing Mark as trustee and the conservatorship. That was held in August. I believe it was August 11, 13, 12, August 12, 13, and August 21. There was a bifurcation sort of the trial. The order was entered on September 9, 2015, so just the following month. Six days later is when the trust and will amendments were made. And then the matter was appealed, and I believe the Supreme Court's opinion, I'm not sure what the date of that is. But then that was presented during a March and April hearing in 2017 to Judge Barrett. And along with that was the affidavit with some additional concerns regarding the financial requirements. But again, Judge Barrett was aware and knew based on the order that he already had in front of him that I know for sure is part of the record, and as well as the Supreme Court's opinion, what the underlying issues were, and that Mark had not been acting partially and was not providing his brother and sister with the information as he was required to do as a trustee and the designated personal representative under the will.
Thank you.
With that, I do think that unless the court has any additional questions, we ask that the court please affirm the April 10, 2017 order that was entered by Judge Barrett, because there were good grounds to find that a special administrator was needed and that that is a separate proceeding from the will contest and should proceed accordingly. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, so we will go on.